Hi, I'm Tim Brody, and you're listening to Moving Forward, a podcast about relationships, community, and connections. This show features Matt Conrad. Matt's a small-town Nova Scotia man with big dreams to leave a strong, positive, and lasting legacy in his community. His is a story of a young boy taught all the right lessons about responsibility and accountability, who developed into a man who loves to showcase his province with pride and enthusiasm. He's taking his energy into the realm of municipal politics this fall, and we had a chance to hear more of his story. We've got Matt on the phone today. Matt, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks. You know, one of the things that you said is that you belong to a Be a Good Neighbor Facebook page. How's that going right now?
That's going exceptionally well. There's posts going up constantly. It's really encouraging to see, honestly. I think there's something like 15,000. Last time I looked, there was like 15,000 people on there. Could be more by now. It's great seeing all the people jumping to help people out. It's gotten to the point now where you can't even... I go on there to see, I get a notification, and there's already been half a dozen, 20 people already jumping on board. When you see things like you're not even able to help somebody because there's already been 20 people that jumped in front of the line to help out, it's a great thing to see.
I think that's absolutely incredible. How many folks did you say are on that group now?
Last I checked, it was over 15,000.
Over 15,000. Now, let's put that into context, because we know that COVID-19 has a high infection rate and a high mortality rate, which is why we're staying inside. What's the positivity rate of your community in comparison then? You know, if we consider the population of that area and the number of folks that are jumping online to help each other, I think we win, COVID loses.
I think so. Just seeing the amount of people willing to help each other out is a win in itself.
I think it's absolutely incredible.
When something happens where you can kind of regain your faith in humanity is actually looking at the people not running away from what's going on, but actually running towards it.
Yeah. You know, I know exactly the quote you're talking about, and it was Mr. Rogers. He said, when you're the most frightened, look for the helpers. You'll always find the help.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about you. I was really intrigued by this notion that you said how proud you are to be a Nova Scotian boy, and that when folks from your company come down this way, you're a bit of a tour guide.
Yeah, I love it. Some people say I may have missed my calling, but I don't know. I just love it. I think there's something. We're a small but mighty province. I have lots of people that come from all over the country. I'm the first one that reaches out. We had a lot of people who Halifax actually was a destination spot for a few of the employee appreciation awards. Mm-hmm. So a lot of for like our head office, and I got a lot of emails from people saying, "I hear you're the guy to talk to. I plan on extending my trip beyond the 3-day weekend. Can you give me some tips of what to do to explore the province?"
As the tour guide, then, what's your favorite spot and why?
Oh, that's really hard. We have so many great spots and so many great things to do, but I really, I love going to the South Shore. I mean, Mahone Bay, Lunenburg is amazing. Once the weather gets nice, we do at least a monthly trip to the valley. And I think that might be the place that speaks to me outside of where I live now, because I love where I live. But for day trips, often it's the Annapolis Valley, and that Wolfville, Canning, Port Williams type area is really one of my favorites. If we're going to spend a day down there, go to the Naked Crepe. So we will head there for breakfast. Maybe we'll hit up a couple shops my wife likes, Fundy. We're still there at supper time. We're spending the whole day there. Go to the Port Pub. They have an excellent lobster for tin. So we generally try to hit that up if we can, and then head back, because it's only an hour away from Halifax.
Very cool. What's if I was to ask you about the secret spot, the place that no one knows about, that really pulls at your heartstrings, where would you send me?
Ooh, well, place that nobody knows about. That's an excellent question. There's a really interesting spot down far in the South Shore called, and I don't know if you're looking for a destination or not, but or a restaurant or whatever, but there's a really interesting spot that a lot of people don't quite realize, but if you're into history, There's actually a really cool spot down in West Pubnico on the South Shore, just before Yarmouth. There's an Acadian village there. The structures are original. They have live actors, almost like what you see in the Fortress Louisbourg. These are original 300-year-old homes. It's really cool if you want to see Nova Scotia, what it looked like almost 300 years ago.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm sold. I'm going. What's really, really interesting about this, Matt, is that you've explored, it sounds like, every nook and cranny of Nova Scotia, and that you're immensely proud to be from here. Yet, in your story, you spoke about the point that your parents didn't drive. How did you guys get around, though, as a family when you were young?
We were the last stop out in Erin Cove for the bus.
Oh, no fooling.
We relied a lot on the bus. I lived next door to my grandparents, so I got to grow up with my mother's parents right next door, which was an experience that, you know, you could never, like, it's an amazing experience. You could never replace that. So my grandparents helped out a lot. They needed groceries that would help out. I got to go and have, when I was in elementary school, parents lived across the street from the elementary. I had to go and have lunch with my grandmother, like, pretty much every day, which was awesome. Nobody to this day picks up a can of ravioli from Chef Boyardee better than she did. We had that. We had my aunt. She was also, like, my aunt Terry, who still to this day, very close with my mother. She actually inherited the house next door, so they still live next door to each other. She was very good to us and my, you know, family and all that stuff. So I can remember early Saturday mornings going grocery shopping with my aunt Terry, my mom, and coming back and bringing all the groceries in and things like that from her car. So, and on top of that, my dad's family, dad worked in town. So my grandfather helped out quite a bit. My grandmother helped out quite a bit in terms of if dad worked off shifts, because he's a shift worker. So worked off shifts, they would come and get him and get him into town. Otherwise, dad would take the bus or he'd run.
Well, do you know, there's a lot of research that shows the value of having close-knit intergenerational families. It's really, really a valuable thing, and you're a prime example of the positive outcomes.
I have large families. Like, my mother's side of the family is a mix of Irish, French, Catholic family. My grandparents had 9 kids, and on my dad's side, they had 6. So big family. I have lots of cousins. I think it's like 30 first cousins that I have. You know, it goes bigger. So it's a big family.
Tell me about your experience when you joined the Army. Why did you join the Army to start with?
Well, I think that's a few things. My grandfather, he was actually stationed in Newfoundland before it was actually part of Canada. So he was stationed in Newfoundland for World War II. And the military was always something I had a lot of respect for. It's what I needed at the time. I had, I was going through a bit of a rough patch when I, my 15th year was kind of a not great year for me. I could see myself going down kind of the wrong path, maybe hanging out with some not as good people that would have been good for me. So, and then I had a couple experiences through that kind of just shook me and realized that I needed to smarten up, and I just kind of did some things that needed to correct my path, and military I knew would give me the structure that I needed to do that.
What's your greatest memory from your time in the Army with the PLF?
Well, I could give you a whole bunch of nice things to say. I mean, the brotherhood and all that stuff is good. I'll be honest with you, at 16 years old, the very first time that you get to fire an assault weapon is actually pretty awesome. It's a memory that I hold very, very clear in my head to even to this day. It's a memory that will never, ever, I'll remember it for it.
Do you know, my son is going through the militia, well, the Army Reserve experience now. And when he was young, I taught him from my military experience how to shoot a pellet rifle. And then we transitioned to the shotgun because I saw him getting a bit cocky and thinking he was so great shooting this pellet rifle. And I think he was about 6 at the time. And so I sat him on my lap and I put the butt of the shotgun up against my shoulder. And I said, all right, now you do the aiming, you pull the trigger. And the power and the sound just shook him to his core. And he realized the responsibility you have to have in order to pick up a rifle or a gun of any kind at all. It's not a fool's errand. It's something where you have to take the utmost responsibility for that.
I couldn't agree with that more. I can remember my grandfather teaching me how to use just little pellet guns and stuff out back.
From your military experience, what was the greatest struggle that you had?
I got hurt. So that would probably have to be the biggest thing, is I hurt my back. But I guess I didn't give myself the time to properly heal. And we went out and I re-injured my back doing some drills with rucksack on. I got sent to the hospital, the infirmary in the military base. And basically the doctor told me, you should have never been sent here. So that was one of the hardest things, because I was gone for the summer. I was expected to be away for the whole summer, and I was really looking forward to it. Spending time, obviously you make some really good friends, and you're a teenager, you're away from your parents, like this is like the first real freedom that you kind of get, and then it gets taken away from you, and not only taken away from you, but I got sent home, and I sat home, not being able to do much that summer because my back was so hurt that I had to be really careful, and I had to go through physio, so that was really the hardest thing.
Your military career ended almost before it even began, and it ended because of a physical injury, and yet there you are today, what I would say is a really robust, strong, powerful-looking man who loves football.
I love football, and actually I play competitively. So yeah. I did get my back into the shape that it needed to be in, but it did take a few years. No, I do play. I love football. It's a huge passion of mine. I spend Sundays during football season pretty much watching it from 2 to 12. I do play it competitively. So there is a Maritime Football League that I play for the Buccaneers. So we have, there's other teams in Halifax, there's teams in PEI, and a few teams in New Brunswick. So it is tackle football. Unfortunately, the season's going to be either postponed, so I may not be able to play this year because of everything that's going on with COVID. I also do play flag football as well when that season's not going on. So we won our flag championship in December, and we started there was a provincial league that actually started that we were in, and that got postponed by COVID as well. So playing lots of football, and it's good. It's great to kind of keep yourself in shape, good to keep yourself, your mind like fresh, and you get your teammates, I imagine no different, it's no different in the military. They just become these people that you talk to all the time. They become family, like this extended family. Mm-hmm. And so your teammates are always kind of there for you. So it's good. I beyond just playing of the football, it's great to have that kind of camaraderie.
Are you an NFL or CFL fan?
Well, I'm more of an NFL fan just because I think the rules make more sense. I still am a CFL fan. I still mm-hmm. watch both. I'm a Patriots fan, and I'm a Ticats fan. I may have to change my allegiance mm-hmm. once we get a team here in Halifax.
What do you think about Halifax getting a professional football team?
I'm all for it for so many reasons. I mean, obviously, selfishly, yes, I want to see the sport of football grow in this province. Buying season tickets, it'd be great in that regard. I know there's a lot of controversy around the stadium, but I think if you look at any growing city, they invest in their entertainment. So I think that's an important factor that people aren't looking at when it comes to looking at what do we want to be as a city, as a society.
Well, I think you've just now publicly made a stand with regards to where you'd be if you ever were on municipal council. So let's talk about that now. You're actually gunning for a position on municipal council. Well, what's so appealing about that for you?
Well, I feel that municipal politics is one of the, I don't want to say the most important, but in a lot of ways it is, because it has the most impact on your day-to-day life. Yes, obviously there's things that provincial and federal policy can do that it can have an impact on your day-to-day life, but I really feel that municipal politics has a greater impact on my everyday life, and you can really be on the ground running. I love the idea of being in the community, representing and I am definitely, I'm going to be a public servant. The district that I'm running for is vast. It would take over an hour to drive from one corner to the other. It's my goal to do that drive every week. I want to do that. I want to be able to go from Shad Bay to Sambro and just Fryfield, make that circle, and I want to make sure that I'm hitting communities every single week. I want to be talking to people all the time. It's that talking to people that you learn what's going on in your community.
It sounds like for you, relationships are what it's all about. It's really important to know people, have face time. As trite as that term sounds, it sounds like that's really important for you, that personal connection.
It is very important. I'm definitely a people person. I'm extremely extroverted. I, for the most part, like everybody that I meet. Networking, building relationships, all of that's really important to me. When you know someone as a person and not as just a name, you see them more as a human. You know them as people.
Do you know there was a philosopher, his name was Martin Buber, and he said there's two ways to engage with others, I it or I thou. You can see other people as objects and then treat them poorly, or you can recognize that there's a bunch of divine in that person that's pretty much the same as the divine inside of you. And then when we do that, we connect.
Yep.
You know, Matt, it's been wonderful chatting with you. I really appreciate your time, and I want to wish you all the best of luck in your journey to become a counselor for the city of Halifax. Thank you.
And no matter what happens, still have lots of work to do in the community.
Is there anything more that you want to say before we close off today?
I would just say that community is more important now than ever, just given what's going on. You can make yourself available. I mean, obviously stay within the rules and what we need to do to make sure that we all stay safe. But if there's something that we can do while staying within those rules to help somebody out, I would strongly encourage it, because we can get through this together.
That's a great message. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Tim Brody in the show Moving Forward, an offering in relationships, community, and connections. We are proud to support the Society of Atlantic Heroes, the group caring about first responders, veterans, and military members in Canada's Atlantic region. It's about our community, and our community is about us. Thanks for listening.